proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study. We began a new series about the Trinity as taught in the Old Testament. Some people perceive the doctrine of the Trinity as a concept that appeared only in the New Testament, while the Old Testament never explicitly taught the doctrine of the Trinity. It did imply it at certain points. Consider the Hebrew noun Elohim, rendered as God. Hebrew suffixes on nouns and adjectives come in three forms: the singular form, the dual form, and the plural form. The singular form suffix has no special ending. It occurs with just the noun, a single noun. A word denoting anything which came in pairs naturally, such as, say, ears and eyes. A term denoting anything that came in pairs used the dual form suffix, ayim. The plural form, im, when attached to a noun, denotes three or more such items. In that light, the opening verse of Genesis takes on a special significance. We read that, quote, "In the beginning, God," and the word used here is Elohim, "in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth," unquote. Though the noun translated as God took the plural form with the im ending in Hebrew, the verb translated for create, bara, appeared in the third person singular form. Such a construction implied that God consisted of a multitude of persons, three or more, a multitude that nonetheless comprised a unity, a single God. Another passage in the Old Testament supporting a multi-person Godhead occurred in the book of Isaiah, chapter 48, verse 16. Quote, "Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me." Three personal pronouns appeared in that verse: the word me, the word ye, and the word I. To whom did each of these words refer? The word ye obviously denoted the Jews. Throughout that chapter, the house of Jacob and Israel were the recipients of the divine message. Thus the invitation to come near was extended unto the Jewish people. The appearance of the first person singular pronoun, I, would seem to imply that it was God himself speaking. In verse 12 of Isaiah 48, the speaker exclaimed, quote, "I am he. I am the first. I am also the last," unquote. Furthermore, the subject of the speech claimed eternality of existence. "I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I," unquote. If the pronoun I in that passage does not indeed refer to God, then the proclamation made comes across as being arrogant, boastful, claiming a divine prerogative to which one has no right. The statement found in Isaiah 48:16 added this statement, quote, "And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me," unquote. The phrase, "the Lord God," the latter word being in capital letters, the phrase "the Lord God" denoted that being whose name the Jewish people would spell with the Hebrew letters, Yod, He, Wow, and He, a construction known as the Tetragrammaton, meaning four letters. Jews reserved pronouncing this name with reference to the Supreme Being alone. Two other entities appeared in that passage: his Spirit, self-explanatory, and me, pointing back to the subject of the phrase. Isaiah 43 thus sets forth three persons, three separate entities: the Lord God, I or me, and the Spirit. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.